Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parenting Hell with...
Max, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
Good boy. And can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Josh Widdicombe.
He sounds like he's had a joint.
This is Max, my two-year-old son. We recorded this and now he won't stop saying Josh Widdicombe. Apparently it's fun to say, too bloody right.
Oh, sounds like Channel 4 commissioner.
Doesn't these days. Love the podcast. Thanks for making the rest of us feel normal. Love, Lauren from Portsmouth.
How do we get rid of Josh Widdicombe from last leg? He's not disabled. How have we let this slip through the net? That was a good one, though. I like that kid. I liked his energy.
Yes. How are you, Rob?
All good. Yep. I'm tired, Rob. I'm tired and cold.
So tired.
So it's cold everywhere.
I'm getting lots of sleep. Oh no, Rob.
What?
I've started having a piss in the night. You know what I said? I don't have pisses in the night.
Yeah.
This week I've started going for a piss in the night, and I can't get out of it.
Do you drink before bed or?
Yeah, I've been drinking loads of water because I'm on a diet.
Right. Oh, my diet. I had a really bad week when Lou was away.
Yeah.
I had a fry up. Oh, you know, I've got an office that I'm going to do this from eventually when it all goes through.
Yeah.
I've got this office, right? That I need to set up the cameras and stuff with Michael.
Yeah.
Put that on the to-do list, Michael. Anyway, I went there when the boiler was getting sorted out or something. They had to put something on it. Oh God, I'm boring myself. Fucking hell, liven up, Rob. Anyway, it was really cold. I was waiting in a cold, empty office while they were fixing something. So I thought, Joe, I'll go for the calf. They'll be done in an hour. I'm supposed to be on my Gary Barlow Get Ripped. Had a fry up because it was -5.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think that's allowed on a diet.
Gary Barlow's not having a fry up for any temperature.
Surely Barlow's knocking back a fry up when it's -5.
No.
Okay, he can't be on yogurt. Not that cold. No. Anyway, I went for a fry up, right? And I'm gonna send you this fry up, and it's the calf nearest my office.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is dangerous. You almost want it to be bad, right? But actually, it's a good calf. I'd say it's in between calf and cafe. But this fry up, I had it, mate.
Oh
it's
my word! What that? Oh,
the best fry
up the toast
I've ever
vertical.
Eaten.
Fuck it now.
I've never seen vertical.
Well, that's that more bacon?
No, it's a homemade hash brown.
Oh, my word.
And it's bacon well done, sausage.
Right. So I'm going to tell you something now. Gary Barlow's never eating that, mate.
They're poached eggs, though, Josh.
Yeah. Rob, that's not Gary Barlow's breakfast.
Anyway, I was supposed to be getting ripped. You know, I had that week when I went really good and I had loads of veg before Lou went away and then I did smelly poos and all that and then Ken Bruce left Radio 2.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's my fault, but I'm not saying it helped. Anyway, I was flying and then I started my week when it was cold, having a fry up. I had Pizza Express twice and then I finished the week on fish and chips from the chippy.
Oh, Rob.
Not a Barlow. Anyway, new week, new me. I'm back on it. Lou's back. I'm not working as much. There's another parent here to help me. I'm back on the veg grind.
Great.
Okay?
So I'm on day 8 of my diet.
I saw you eating cottage cheese with an avocado, and you look sad.
That's what it's all about, mate.
You look sad and thin.
I look sad. But I'm drinking too much water, and it's making me piss at night.
But yeah.
You know, I did
a
brown noise.
Or is it a dark one?
I'm not looking, Rob. I try and keep my eyes closed while I'm doing it.
Are you doing brown noise every night?
Yeah. And it gives you a time of how long you've slept for. Because obviously you can see how far you've got through the brown noise playlist.
Oh, yes. What are you looking at?
I did 8 hours and a quarter last night.
What, before the piss?
No. I don't check it when I get up for the piss. But I leave the brown noise running.
So 8 hours. So we had 8 hours sleep.
Yeah. Why am I tired?
What time did you go to bed?
You know I go to bed early, Rob.
You're such a little nerd.
I'm not a nerd.
Your little full pyjamas, book on, 8:15.
I'm not wearing pyjamas, Rob. I'll pair a pair of loose boxer shorts. What time did we go to bed last night? What did we watch? We watched the second part.
Is Rose in there while you're doing the podcast, watching you?
What do you mean doing the podcast?
You asked her what time did we go to bed?
No, I was saying it to myself. I was saying it.
Oh, I thought she's in the room making
she
sure you're not
watching the podcast. She's a big fan of the show.
I've got the camera up then.
And I said, you should see it unedited. It's really good. Just watch it a couple of days.
She can't hear you.
It's quite weird because I've got the headphones in.
Just hears just your audio. So what time did you go to bed last night?
We watched that Chuck D hip-hop documentary.
Don't try and make yourself sound cooler.
So we were pretty cool.
Yeah, watch a little bit of a hip-hop doc.
Watch that Chuck D hip-hop documentary.
Yeah.
And then we went to bed at about 9:45. It's pathetic,
isn't it? Sleep.
It's pathetic, isn't it?
So what time did you get into
Rose
bed?
Rose went straight to sleep, Rob, because she was still drunk from being at Claridge's.
So she was asleep bang on 9:45.
No, well, it takes a quarter of an hour to get upstairs,
like 10 p.m.
doesn't it? Yeah, 10 p.m.
I wouldn't say that's too... I think if you've got a kid, what time's your son getting up?
6:45, 7.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you want to have a good day and be able to do your life, you need to be going to bed by 10 p.m. if you've got a kid waking up at 6.
I can't remember what it's like to watch Match of the Day.
I've been watching it in the mornings on Saturday, Sunday morning. You know what it's like? But like live. I've been waiting for it to come on.
It's so pathetic.
I remember breaking up going, why the fuck? Why? I used to go, why are they putting Match of the Day on so early? No one's up at that time when I was like 22. Now I'm waiting for it to come on. I'm negotiating. All right, then, girls, you can watch Frozen 1, Frozen 2, and after 3 hours, when that's finished, I'll be watching Match of the Day at 9:30 a.m., OK?
What has become of our lives?
But 8 hours is good. That's good sleep, mate. That's good. Yeah. I go to bed before Lou now. I'm really needing a lot of sleep. I feel like...
The couple that doesn't go to bed together isn't, like... I can't go to bed first. I can go to bed second. I can't go to bed first.
I've only just started doing it, but I actually feel a bit smug.
Do you?
I'm going to bed now, or you just sit there and let telly rot your brain.
I'm going to go watch TikTok in bed.
Yeah, I literally lay there for an hour. Last night, I watched TikTok for an hour, and I just thought to myself, you're disgusted. I had my book on my lap as if I was going to read it. No. Just watch people falling over in the ice.
Oh, shall we get our guest on in 2.5 minutes? We both said we had nothing to say at the start of this podcast. We've really strung it out. Close to.
I'd argue we haven't.
Do you want one?
Just because we're talking doesn't make it content, does it?
Oh, come on, you know how podcasting works.
No, let's get through to the end of this without content.
All right. Shall I play you Prince Harry singing your song? I honestly, mate, I'm going to say it now. Yeah. I gave up on Spare. I didn't enjoy it.
Oh, just too much.
Just fucking hell, we get it. You're in the army. Fuck it. If I wanted Bravo 2-0, I'd have fucking bought it, mate. 5 consecutive chapters on flying an Apache helicopter. I couldn't give a shit. Tell me some things about Prince Charles.
5 chapters on an Apache. This is like when Lou tried to make me read John Steinbeck. Oh, my God, that bloke loves to describe a field.
Oh, my
Fuck
God.
Fuck me.
This is Prince Harry.
I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is while you're in the world. He sang it with a twinkle and a smile.
Oh, he's not even that.
What?
That was worse than just reading it.
I know, just read it. Surely.
In his defence, though, the audiobook is horrible to do.
Yeah, I know, but...
On your own. He's had to read out 5 chapters on Apaches, probably thinking, I've overdone it on Apaches. I've doubled down. I've cinquented down on a patch. That is tough. I feel so... I would have just read that out. That's bad producing, that is.
I think...
It's a little bit funny. If I put down in words...
He doesn't believe it. He doesn't believe that he should be singing this.
It's a little bit funny. I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind that I put down in words the Apache helicopter, one of modern technology's marvels.
We've done it.
All right.
We've got to get our guest on. We've got to our
guest. We have William and Kate Windsor. right, should we do our guest?
Yeah.
Who have we got this week?
Right. Is he the best looking man you've ever met?
Well, unfortunately, I'll never be able to meet me. So, yes. Our guest this week, David Gandy. What a salt. David Gandy, welcome to the podcast. We're very excited to have you on. Can I just call you Gandy? Did we call you Gandy when me and Romesh met you?
Gandy? I've been Gandy since I was about five. I don't even think,
really?
I think at the end of school, people came up to me, I was 18, went, what is your first name? I was like, David. No, I didn't.
Yeah, David Gandy, yeah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Josh, me and Gandy are best pals because from my modelling days.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, when I used to, you know, New York Fashion Week, things like that, innit, Dave?
Yeah. What went wrong, Rob? What went wrong?
You know what? I just lost the fire for it. they wanted me back, but I was like, if I can't do it to my full ability, I don't want to know.
You didn't believe it anymore, did you?
Like Cantona when he retired early from football. Yeah. He still had the ability, but didn't fancy it.
You got to go out on top, though, Rob. That's the thing.
Exactly.
Leave him wanting more.
Embarrassing. Yeah, exactly.
It does.
The weird thing is about that is, like, out of everything I've done, everyone comes up to me and speaks about that episode from Rob and Ramesh.
Really?
And I'm like, that's the best thing you've done. I was on it for 3 minutes. I was like, they just said, best thing, funniest thing you've ever done. I was like, oh, great, thanks for that. Like,
more than the advert, the advert in the pants that we recreated.
To be honest, I got a little bit worried during that episode because, you know, when you first did your photo shoot,
yeah,
it was actually really good. I know, like, you did your portfolio.
Oh, it was. Yeah, the portfolio's not bad, actually. I don't know if you've seen it, Josh. It's actually pretty good, yeah.
People are going to think this is, which is quite easy, but this is like an easy game.
Is it easy, David?
Yeah. No, but to be honest, we got them on, then you had to recreate light blue, didn't you, in the white pants?
Yeah,
I'd say
it's not easy if you've got my body to recreate David Gandy's famous shot of him on the boat.
How would you feel if your kids went into modelling at an older age?
But Josh, we need to establish, the listener don't know
how
many
seamless.
Kids... You're
Email
not being
goes,
seamless.
My two kids, since you mentioned.
But we normally ask the
guest... How many kids you got? How old are they?
Okay, it's so seamless. If you ever want to do a podcast, let us know if you need any tips, hints, pointers.
I've got two kids, Joe. I've got two girls.
Two girls,
just over four and just over one.
Ooh. Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Busy
you
age.
You look very tired.
I'm knackered, mate. I haven't slept for 4 years. This is good. I mean, that's actually one thing that the industry, because, I mean, being in the industry, I've been jet lagged for 20 years.
Yeah.
I've been on 90 plus a year. The wife finally found a use for me. What I don't sleep. And she was just like, right, okay, well, I'm going to get a good night's sleep and you do the nights. And that was... Like,
amazing.
Then be the rule.
So I
basically just have got used to, you know, being able to function on 4 or 5 hours sleep. So that to other people is, when they have a baby, is an absolute shock. I mean, they're just like, oh my God, like, how do you function? I've been doing that for years.
90 flights a year?
That's why, sometimes more.
Have you got a part-time job as cabin crew or something, as well as...
Got a lot of fucking air miles I can't spend for some reason.
So I would say, though, having a kid is just like being jet-lagged, isn't it? Like, all the time.
Yeah,
and
you're
saying that you've been preparing for this, and has it helped?
It's sleep deprivation, isn't it? Sleep deprivation is used as torture. And then we have children and put us in... Like someone said to me the other day, it was the thing that... If one of the most complicated, hardest things in life, and anyone can do it. Like, you don't have to have an exam. You like, you know, when you leave the hospital, they come and check. They bring your baby down. If you're in a car, they go, have you got a car seat? You go, yeah. And you put the baby in. They go, well, you're good to go. And you go, are we? Are you sure we're good to go? Because I don't think we're good to go. Like,
because when I worked at Sainsbury's, they had this big machine that you put the cardboard in and it would crush it to get it into a small cube to send off. I wasn't allowed to use that machine because I hadn't been trained.
No, it was just that you weren't allowed to use the machine, right? Everyone else was.
But, it is brutal. How have you found it? Did you always want to be a dad and you're loving it now, or was it... you know.
No, I mean, I love kids because basically I am one still. And I think that's where I think dads come into their own a little bit in some ways, because we love to be a bit silly and a bit stupid, and kids kind of love that. So I've my sister has 6 children.
Whoa,
so
wow.
She's got 3 boys, 3 girls. And so I had lots of nieces and nephews. And she's one of those annoying people that makes it look effortless. Like, yeah. she lives over in Spain with her husband. And then she says, oh, you know, I said, look, and we're having a birthday party, or we're getting one of the kids christened. It's going to be mad for you to come over with all the kids. And there she is on her own, brings the 6 kids, all flying with each other. Seamless, like 6 suitcases, 6 bags. We've got 2, and you know, we're having a nervous breakdown about getting in the car and going to Waitrose. It's just, like, I don't know how she does it. It's just quite annoying. But,
did she give you tips, or did you find it? Because sometimes people with a lot of kids, they'll give new parents or soon-to-be parents tips, and it's quite frustrating.
Yeah, no, I'm not a big person on the parenting tips thing.
You don't like them?
When other people give advice. No, I'm not the most patient person when it comes to that at all. I don't think I do it as well. I don't think I give it. I just think everyone has to do it in their own way.
You have to make
your mistakes, and you have to learn from them. And every child is different. Every one of my children, every one of my, you know, sister's 6 children have been brought up in the same way, have been schooled. So they're all entirely different.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
So you just have to adapt very, very quickly. And I think I kind of got to that when we started going to birthday parties or meeting parents at the nursery, and then there was a slightly different dynamic of, I remember at one birthday party, it's like, they just did fish and chips. And I said, I said to the, wait, has he got some tomato sauce? Well, I mean, that just led to World War III among a few parents. You let your daughter have tomato sauce.
Oh, wow. Oh,
what?
I was like, yes, tomato sauce. Yeah. And then, of course, my daughter's used to having a bit of a tomato sauce. You know, she has a little, you know, squirt tomato sauce. That's what she's allowed. And
you animal, David. You absolute savage.
But the kids, you know, the kids who have never had tomato sauce were, you know, got the bottle. They were squeezing it everywhere in their mouths and everything else. And their parents, see, this is why we don't allow tomato sauce. I was like, really?
I think if you, it's all like moderation. So Lou, I think I've spoken about this before, was not allowed fizzy drinks as a kid. She smashes through Diet Coke like a monster. It's some sort of like inbuilt thing of a, yes, I can get it now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I wasn't really allowed fizzy drinks, and I still don't really drink fizzy drinks.
Yeah.
It's quite a weird thing. What my mum used to allow me, and I don't know if you know them, Scampi fries.
Scampi fries. Awful. The smell. Awful.
The smell. And now I still love scampi fries, so I get in the car, go on the road trip, and get my packet of scampi fries. People are like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, I love a scampi fry, but the smell makes you feel physically sick. And my brain goes, just eat them quick, and you won't have to smell them anymore. Which I don't think
just
the
get
right
them down, because they're good for you.
Just get them down, you get fish. It's good, isn't it? Fish is good for you, brain food.
So, what's your children's diet like?
Pretty good, right, to be honest. I mean, I'm quite nutritionally, I had to be, I kind of taught myself to be quite nutritionally aware and
that
kind of stuff.
Mate.
Big time.
So, okay, but, you know, we're as guilty as any. But there's, you know, my idea, people think I'm ultra careful about what I eat and everything and carbs, and I'm not at all. So, you know, it's just like, instead of, if they want chips, they get sweet potato fries and stuff like that that you can, that kids will still eat.
My kids don't like chips.
They don't like chips.
I've never met kids that don't like, they don't like chips. They just go, no, I don't like chips. Who don't like chips?
They will.
No, but who don't like chips? It's impossible. I don't know anyone that don't like chips. It's impossible not to like chips, isn't it?
You're always saying I got them at McDonald's. What are they doing?
They don't eat the chips. They just have nuggets or the burger if they have a McDonald's. They don't eat the chips. It's weird. That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I don't feel like I should try and get my kids into chips.
No, you shouldn't be pushing them.
Come on, finish your chips. Get them down, yeah.
You're not getting off this table until you eat your chips.
Yeah, eat all those chips. So how have you been travelling a lot still since the babies have been born then? So have you cut back?
No, it's just when the baby's born, I kind of knew that, because it's only really me and Steph. So our families, her families are, they're up in Lancashire, Yorkshire, so they're 4 or 5 hours drive away. My parents are 2.5 hours drive away.
Yeah.
So it's just us, like that was it. So those years, and I love traveling. That was my life. for 20 years now, and I love it. But yeah, it was just a conscious decision. I moved all the companies to London, started new companies so I could focus on those, and bring in teams. And
is that an idea to stop you being out then? If you've got, like, because you've got your new company, well, I want to talk to you about Wellwear is your new sort of clothing line. Is it sort of going, okay, how can I establish work where I can be at home more rather than going out for shoots and stuff like that?
Yeah. And if I do go, then it's a one night rule pretty much. So it doesn't matter where it is, even if it's New York, it's out, get there early in the morning, do the round, have one night, have another day, and then come back again.
Because I suppose as a model, is there a thing like, what's the progression? Because as you get older, you're obviously a very good-looking man, but is there much work for older models?
Well played, Rob. I was going to see how you're going to deal with it. Obviously, you're still very good-looking now.
Well,
I'm not saying you're not.
But I'm just saying, will you say, what is that? Do you have to think of almost like a get-out plan?
But you could be like a silver fox, couldn't you, at 60, I suppose? There must be still like... You like
if your hair goes grey, I suppose. If not, then you'd be in trouble. We can't really call yourself a silver fox if you've got brown hair.
You could do like walk-in baths and stuff, like adverts for them.
Stella Sterling, just absolute blue steel up the stairs.
Yeah, men's nappies. But
shit yourself in style with David Gandy.
Still on the dinghy in Italy,
with brown pants instead of white ones. But because you're at clothing, because I've been looking at it, it looks, I'd say, David, it is like the coolest but quite comfy dad clothes. That sort of vibe. There's a lounge. Go to Wellwear. I looked in it. I was like, I like this because you look stylish, but it looks like soft cotton. Do you know what I mean? It looks comfy.
It's pretty much what we did, Robin, in many ways, is when going into the boring psychological, scientific view of why we choose soft clothing.
Please do. I want to know that.
Rob
I'm all
lives
over
in
a
soft
fleece,
clothing.
But I look like a prick. I want to look like you.
If you want to go into scientific view, it's the same thing as when you say you stroke a dog or cat and oxytocin is released. It's that feel-good factor of soft clothing. And there are scientific studies been done on students, people in work placing in comfortable clothing and not comfortable clothing, and the productivity, the positivity, everything is increased. Students' exam results were better in comfortable clothing.
Wow.
So it has a major impact actually on, and so do other things like sustainability.
Fuck that, mate. I want to feel comfy. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
Basically, everyone always thinks I'm in suits, I'm in tailoring. Well, we met in Savile Row. Of course, I love suits and tailoring.
Yeah.
But predominantly, most of the time, I'm in sweatshirts or T-shirts or, you know, every day, you know, looking after children or going to the pub or doing all, you know, all these different things. I was always in T-shirt and jeans or sweatshirts. And it just got to a point where I'd already done stuff with M&S anyway, which I was kind of known for, the anti-autograph. And then I just said, well, I want to, you know, change the narrative a bit and move that brand on. So we just did the ultimate T-shirts, the ultimate sweatshirts. Yeah. And we did things like really simple things, which people think are genius, but I put side pockets in everything.
So they're handy.
In your sweatshirts, as a dad, you know, like, I mean, literally, like, you go out, and we don't have a bag, do we? Like, well, you can have a handbag, I'm not judging. But, you know, you don't have a bag like a woman has a bag, so you've got your kid's stuff, you've got a mobile phone, and then my kid goes, can you put my unicorn in your pocket? You go, got a unicorn, got tissues, got something else, and it's that sort of utilitarian feel. Yeah. So we've worked on the comfort level is one, sustainability of it. And then, really just the style as well, mixing those elements together, because you still want to look stylish.
Because I reckon I could wear this to the school gates without people talking about me behind my back. Because sometimes, that's my ultimate dream, is to look comfy but presentable.
And you're always one side or the other, aren't you, Rob?
Exactly.
That's what I was thinking.
I can never
about
get the balance right. I think Gandhi's nailed it.
Do you guys worry about the school drop-off and what you're wearing?
Yes. I went in shorts the other day and there was too much chat about my legs.
Shorts? It's been about -4 for 2 weeks.
I've been to the gym and I didn't have time to go home. And then people were like, you're wearing shorts. And I was like, I've been to the gym. And they were like, oh, someone's been to the gym. And I'm like, I'm not making a statement about I'm never going in shorts again. It was so controversial.
I think all the losers at the school gates are just jealous, mate.
Yeah, exactly. I can't help it if I've got good pins. You know how it is, David.
You either got it or you haven't.
Exactly. Yeah. See, I turn up in all sorts of stuff. Like, we've been building a house for years, so I've been on, like, we're finally in, but I've been on site, and I mean, like, boots and a barber and, like, strange sort of, like, outfits that have to go, I have to go into a meeting, but they have to be on site and always yes. things. So I've, like, turned up in some, and I've gone to the gym and then gone to do the school yeah. pickup as well, so.
I bet no one's having a go at your legs, though, are they, David, unlike me? No one's going, oh, hark at him with his legs out.
Wouldn't wear shorts. You know, I mean, that's, yeah.
That's an error, as we, yeah. as us two know, Josh. That's a couple of stylist guys.
It was quite funny, actually. There's a couple of dads. I kind of call them the rogue dads at nursery. Mm. And one of them, Tommy, he's very cool. He's a good friend of mine now. Very cool guy, like got the beard, the long hair, really handsome. And he said to me, the first time I met you, he went, oh. So the first day at nursery, he said, you know, to the wife, I'm going to absolutely nail first. I'm going to be the coolest dad at school. Yeah. So like turns up and he said, I've got it. And he said, and fucking David Gandy turns up in the sports car. And, like, drops his fuck my life.
That's like something from a sitcom, isn't it? Actually, I think, you know, well, I'm the younger dad. I'm going to be one of the cooler ones. Gandy rolls in. So I've got to go straight to New York after this, actually. What are you doing? Just walking home, are you? Having
I'm
a coffee?
One night.
So yeah, is your eldest going to school soon?
She's, yeah, she'll go in September.
In September. And how are you yeah. feeling about that? Looking forward to getting some time back, or?
I have this weird thing where I hated school. Yes. Absolutely hated it. So I'm more nervous than she is. So I'm getting, when I walked in, so we've got obviously been to see the schools and when we've yeah. had the meetings with the teachers, I'm going in having that pit of my, you know, in the stomach yeah. feeling like yeah. I'm going back to school. Like you hear songs of praise on the Sunday night, you haven't done your homework feeling.
Oh, yeah. That I know one, exactly how you feel. Yeah. I was exactly yeah. the same and I was petrified, but she didn't give a shit and she loves it.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, so she seems to be really looking forward to it and I'm kind of like, a little bit nervous.
Are you worried about passing
it?
Your feelings on to her?
No, because I'm positive about it. I think I had that experience, I know what it shouldn't be. Yeah. I know how school should be. And my wife had absolutely astounding, you know, she loved school. We had very, very different upbringing.
I don't
very
get those people. I can't believe it.
I liked school. I didn't love school. Love school's weird.
Are you calling David Gandy's wife weird?
No, I'm not calling David Gandy's wife
weird.
Well,
that's what you've just done.
Yeah. Don't tell anyone.
I'm sure she'd get over it. She's married to David Gandy. She doesn't give a shit what I think.
She's fucking cracked. She's cracked the code.
When people say that, they go, I love school. I didn't want to. I had people that didn't even leave school or leave university. I had friends that just kept on doing doctorates. So I don't think they wanted to get out of education. And I couldn't. I said the only thing I learned from university was I shouldn't have gone to university. That's the only thing that I learned.
You've done all right for yourself in the end, David, I'd say.
Not by anything I learned at university.
No.
Not by anything I learned at school, to be honest. I'm still waiting to use something.
Did you miss the week where you learned about soft fabrics? Because that was one of my favourite weeks. If you didn't...
That science lesson about soft fabrics. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Sure. What did you do at uni then? What was you studying at uni?
I did multimedia computing.
Right.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I didn't know what it meant in the first lecture either.
That was social media as well. I mean, like just like it PowerPoint.
But the teachers couldn't. It was moving at such a rate they couldn't teach the same thing. So they were going, you really have to show us what's available, what you can do with stuff. I was the only person, I still remember it to this day, MM101, which was Multimedia 101. I was the only person there that didn't have a laptop. I mean, I just bundled in from... I just bundled in from Freshers Week and was not feeling the best. And then everyone said, like, coding.
You're a pen and paper to the multimedia.
Yeah. Anyway. We lasted a few years, then I came to the fashion game and didn't really know what I was doing in there either, but found a niche, should I say.
With the kids, to go back on the earlier question that we've established, would you like them to follow into the fashion game?
There's nothing wrong with it, and I obviously came into the industry, I knew nothing about it, my family knew nothing about it, yeah. And we also sort of went down a path of branding that really no other male model had kind of
Yeah.
step before. We've been on the boundaries of where other male models had gone to like try and rival the female supermodels. So I've always felt like I'm not quite sure what I was doing and it was all on me. But if they wanted to, it's just a different industry now. It's not the industry that we knew and the glamour and everything else. It's a lot to do with influencers and, you know, your engagement on social media. And so it's completely a completely changed industry. So, yes, I wouldn't... I personally have a bit of a problem with people going into modelling before. I mean, they can go in before they're 16, which I don't agree with that. You can go in at 16 and then you don't have to have a booker or anyone go with you. After that, I think that should be a lot older.
Yeah.
So I would always say to my children, look, listen, 18 is the cutoff point. If you want to explore, go and explore up until that point, you're not going anywhere near it. And of course, I've had everyone say, can we do the shoots with the kids? Can we do a campaign with the children? But I keep everything off of social. And I want my kids to have a childhood, really, like normal. Yeah,
you wouldn't want to exploit their experiences for a profit, would you?
No, we would never do that.
No, we
do keep them off social media and stuff. Yeah, but for you, it is all like the image of it, and having to do photo shoots would be a lot of sort of pressure on them. But I was thinking though, like, because of the lifestyle that you had, you're doing 90 flights a year, traveling all over the world. Did you think to a point, will you ever meet someone and settle down and have kids? Because it's not really the lifestyle for that kind of relationship, is it?
Absolutely. I suppose you always hope you do. You just adapt to the situation at the time, really. And, when we're in the relationship, I'm still flying around and you just have to, that's your life. That's what you have to do. And you have to adapt to that. And when you have kids, yeah, it was adamant. I had positioned that so that I didn't have to be flying as much. Yeah. I'd love to be away. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, that is my life and I love doing it. I was then suddenly going from doing that. I hate routine. I can't stand routine.
Yeah.
And then you are instilling that, you know, get up, take the dog for a walk, look after the baby, go and do some work, go to the supermarket, come back, go to look, and you're in this routine. And I will admit it, you go, what the fuck am I doing?
I know exactly.
What is this? So, what is your routine now then? How's it? How are you splitting it?
Because it's madness at the moment. It is honestly madness. We've been building a house for 2 years. There is no real routine. My other half is a barrister. So again, you think you have a routine? You don't. We don't know when she's going to be in court. Not be in court. I mean, she's literally coming this moment and said, "You know, I wasn't in court yesterday because they called." I am in now court now. So, you know, nursery runs, school runs, work, everything. She's in court. She can't do anything about it. She has to be. So I have to change my everything tomorrow.
What's she been accused of?
Stuff around.
Bit of fun. Bit of fun.
Prince Charles actually made that same. I don't got a name. Like, King Charles. I met him.
He's got the same banner as King Charles. Oh, Josh Whitaker.
Do you know what? King. That's worse.
And he made that joke, I met him. We were in Scotland doing something with the British Wall, and I met him. I said, I'm meeting you for Stole for Soldiers. I'm a patron for it. And he said, I'll see you tonight. And I said, my other half will be there. And I mean, bless him, when he got to that party, he's probably met another 500 people that day. Yeah. He said, David, remember my name? He said, where is Stephanie here? And I said, my God, you remember? I said, I'm so sorry. And he says, she's in court. And he said, oh my goodness, what did she do? Made the same joke. But I thought it was very good. Like, I've always been very, very fond of
it. I like the cut of his jib. We should get him on.
At least you're not doing Prince Philip's shtick. That'd get us in trouble, Josh. Let's keep it to Charles.
Prince Charles would be a good guest. How are you getting on with both your sons? Let's go through them one at a time.
And your brother. How's he? Apart from that. I was going to ask, well, though, obviously your kids having a much different lifestyle to you now. Like, you know, you grew up in Billericay. Do you ever take them back to Billericay to see their roots?
I don't go back that much. I've still got friends there. They're still close friends. My family, my mum and dad moved from Billericay. They moved 13, 14 years ago. Mm. Still in Essex. They're in the Essex Suffolk border now. Billericay was, I was saying this the other day to a couple of the dads, is that when I remember being 9 or 10, and I would leave, like I said, mum, see you later. And she'd be like, yep, bye. And I would be on roller skates or a bike or something. And I would go over the other side of town to meet my friend Anthony. And my mum wouldn't know where I was all day. And then, you know, I would go back to Anthony's or Anthony would come back to ours. And then their mums would go, I'll call your mums. Guys, like, tell them, do you want to stay for dinner? Yeah, stay for dinner. And we'll drop you off later. Like like 9 or 10, just out
12
day.
Hours.
Like, I haven't got a 9-year-old yet, but I couldn't imagine.
No.
Or leaving at 9 or 10. Go, yep, see you later. Have a good.
Just walk across town on your roller skates. Off you go.
So madness. So yeah, it's a different upbringing. I wouldn't say it's vastly different. I mean, I like it's pretty like normal. I had a pretty normal upbringing, and there's things that my parents have instilled into me. Like my father was keen for us to see a lot, you know, education through travel. So he took us everywhere. So my dad had a very impoverished background, so wanted to see the world. So, and I didn't really appreciate that, I have to say. We've been to, he took us to the Amazon and Alaska and Africa and all these different places. We did that, and I never really appreciated that until actually I met David Attenborough, and I spoke to him about being amongst gorillas and trekking for gorillas. Mm. There's not that many people that can do that. But that's where I almost understood, it's like, listen to your mum and dad. They do actually know what they're talking about. Yeah. I remember going to my dad once. I was about 17, and I had my first car was an 11-year-old Ford Fiesta. The windows didn't work. I went on a date a couple of times. The window didn't go down, and then the door latches broke, so she had to get out through the sunroof. That was the end of that. And I was furious about it. I was like, Dad, this car, it's like. And then so we were chatting. I said, Dad, when we are going on these holidays, I said they obviously cost, you know, a decent amount of money. And he said, yeah, of course, David. He said, I said, so could I maybe not come on holiday and I put that money towards a car? Now, my dad, without even blinking, sort of said, David, you don't have to come on holiday, but you're not getting a new car. So you decide whether you want to sit on your own during the summer or whether you want to come. I said, I think I'll come on holiday. He went, good, just get out of my office. And that was basically it. So it was a different, it was parents know best. And you know, the first thing where I met David Attenborough, went to Dad and went, I was just able to speak to David Attenborough about being amongst gorillas. And he said, there
amazing.
You go.
Do you want to take your kids travelling a lot as well?
Yeah,
is that something you want to put with your kids?
Yeah,
have you definitely. Taken them anywhere yet? Like, even though they're young.
I'm going to sound like, you see, there's this one thing where I'm very conscious, especially I suppose with my upbringing, is that I want my children to know the value of money, and I want them to work, and I want them to graft. I want them to, and things aren't given to them. And I'm doing a terrible job at that at the moment. Like, awful. I mean, my daughter learned, and this is going to sound so pretentious, my daughter learned to walk her first steps were on a beach in Turks and Caicos.
Like, really? So, and that's quite uneven, that sand, so she's got good stability, good balance.
It's like the Brazilian footballers, when they learn on a beach, they're actually better when they then get on the pitch. Yeah. She'll be a superb walker on grass.
Yeah, she is, to learn very early. And that I look at that and she's on the wrong, she's like, it's the right end of the plane, but the wrong end of the plane, she shouldn't be here. And I just think these things all the time, and I just think, no, and I'm angry, like she's just going to get used to this and think that this is how people live, and this, you don't have to.
Yeah.
I was watching Jerry Seinfeld today, and he was being toured. You ever seen the comedians in cars with coffee?
Yeah.
Good show. And he said to him, and his daughter said, are we rich? And he said, well, I am. I thought that was a good answer. But it's that element to all those things, like I want to know the value of money and want them to work, and just not that everything is just done for you, really, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I think that was instilled in. I worked, I was a pizza deliverer, I worked voluntarily at a dog sanctuary when I was like 15, 16. I paid my dues in many ways of understanding that you have to work for stuff and you have to graft.
Well, you know, you've grafted in your career as well. Like you say, when you first come into it, you were treading new ground, really, because it was the female supermodels, but not the men. And you've sort of, you know, established yourself. And even then you've got to this level, you're still like starting new brands and stuff like that. But I think sometimes if you want to show your kid what you're doing, it's like they'll see from how you are.
Hopefully. But I think, great example.
Right. You can't really tell anyone anything, you show them. And I think when they get a bit older and see that you're grafting.
Exactly. My daughter's going to see how stressed I am and go, I want that life. I want someone who's constantly panicking about their career. That's what I'm looking for.
Laying in bed at 9 p.m. listening to brown noise crying. That's the lifestyle I want.
You've mentioned a couple of times, like, the parents at nursery and stuff. Because I'd say there's a difference between me and Rob. I'm quite into being the kind of amongst the parents and the WhatsApp groups and stuff. Rob hates all the other parents, and he won't deny that.
I don't hate them all. I'm busy, and I play football with them, but I'm not... organising
to the other parents. So where are you?
Well, my other half calls me socially inept for a start. Right. That might give you an idea of I'm quite a loner. So my wife is brilliant at social elements. Like she's great. So she is involved in that whole thing. I like I have. I think we're choosing each other. I call them kind of like the rogue element. So the dads that will go to the pub and they'll have a few drinks and we'll take the kids to a lunch, but we know it's actually really a bit of a booty lunch. And the same sort of mindset. There's like I'm very obviously polite and nice to everyone. I won't know people. It's like we've been there for a few years now. My wife will still say the names of the children and the mum and dad. I'll be like, which one's that? Who's that? And she'll be like,
oh my word. If I had to match the children to the parents, that would be one of the worst days of my life. If they were all lined up outside the school and I had to give the children to the right parents. Could you do it?
No. No, not at all. Apart from, there's a few. And actually we've made some go, I have to say, the ones that my wife has forced me to talk to and socialise with that become good friends. And I think that there's something you've got a lot in common because a lot of friends, if they haven't got children, they just don't understand. They can't get it. Yeah, they can't get the fact that they go, oh, we'll pop around, we'd love to see the kids. And I go, okay, but you've got a window of when you want to pop around. And they go, and then it kind of, they'll go, right, so get her at 5, or get her at 4:30, because they're having dinner at 5:30. And then after that, it's kind of like bedtime, and we're putting kids to bed. And they go, yep, got it. And then at 6 o'clock, they turn up, and I'm like, oh, you've bugged it all up now. That's like...
I can't enjoy this now because you've ruined the routine. You're going to be downstairs without us while we try and get children to bed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you fucking morons. I told you come round at 5. Do you think I just did that for a laugh, do you? Yeah, I plucked that out the air. You cretins.
Yeah, it's like my friends were they were walking across the other day and like they said, well, we'll walk from Richmond and meet you halfway. I was like, great. They then walked for like 40 minutes. And I still wasn't there. They went, where are you? I was having a half an hour, because my daughter had a tantrum because she didn't want to change her tights. But she did want to change her tights, but didn't want to change the tights. So I said, put some warm trousers on because it's freezing outside. But she didn't want to wear trousers because trousers don't go with her dress. And it was this, and I wasn't giving, and then she was like, I don't want to go out now. I was like, well, we're going out. So you're not sitting watching television. And I was adamant I wasn't giving up this argument, and my kind of other half walked in. Into this kind of, she was just like, oh, right, I'm going to leave you two guys to this one. I was like, yes, just leave, because I've got to be strong on this one. I'm not going to break. So, and then we just walked out and they would have walked over. So 5 minutes later, like, it was literally, I walked into the park for 2 minutes and then we came back home and had a cup of coffee. I was like, well, that's it. So that's,
that's done. That one. So, yeah. But it's hard to convince the kid cry. I cried, went into the park for 2 minutes, all come back, everyone hates each other. Yeah. What a lovely Saturday in -3.
The dog hasn't got walks, she's angry with me. My daughter's angry with me because she can't wear the tights. My wife's angry at me because she's just angry at me, just generally.
There is a slight resentment that I think lingers for about 6-7 years from your partner. They're just sort of a general like disdain and disgust that I get from Lou's eyes.
You put a time limit on that though. So is there light at the end of the tunnel, Rob?
Oh, yeah, she's all over me now. She can't get enough of me.
Actually, as well, it's like a house full of women, including the dog. There is a point where I get ignored by everyone. So even like my baby, the Tab, she's one. If she bumps her head or falls over, like, hurts herself slightly, I could be nowhere near this. She blames me for it. She stares at me in like detest of like, I don't know what it is. I'm like, it's not me. I wasn't anywhere near this. And she just see her and she just turns away from me. I'm like,
it's your curse that you're in the only house of women in the world that wouldn't want David Gandy to be there. Like every other house of women would be. Delighted, David. Yeah,
if you hang around long enough to become the villain, David, that's how it works.
I've got to get a dog, like a male dog. I've got to get one. Just so,
male dog to watch the football with.
Yeah.
Do your daughters like? My daughters are going for a stage now where they won't hug me because my beard's scratchy. And they hate that. That's something I'm struggling with at the moment, to the point where I have to pull a jumper over my face, which I think is worse. And then they'll do it. But now I feel that they're just doing it because they find it funny, because I'm so pathetic.
Show me what you mean by pull a jumper over your face.
So I can't really do it with this one as such, but like if I had a bit more of a looser one.
Like that?
Yeah, a bit like you just pull it over, a bit like a balaclava. put it over like that, and then I can hug me there, and then my beard's covered.
That's leaving scars, mental scars.
There is that element. It's like my daughter. There is this routine in bed where, and I've always done the bedtimes where it's now. Right, put your pajamas on. You get one video to watch on my phone whilst I'm putting pajamas on, because you kind of work out otherwise they're jumping around, they can't get your legs in right to the. So you get one video. That's fine. It's then two stories. It's then have a little conversation about stories, and then she leans on my arm and she has her back tickled, and then she's asleep. And it's like a half an hour. But I'd rather go through that than we've had other parents here that leave their kids in beds with iPads or phones. And I'm like, no, I'll go through my half an hour, then I know I'm good for the evening. But the last two nights is she's always like, she's like, Daddy, I lay on your arm, lay on your arm. And she goes, and then for the last two nights, she's gone, your arm's too hot, Daddy. And turned over. And that's killed me. And I'm like, and I don't want that. But before that, I've been moaning about her, like, oh, why do you have to lay on my, like, into myself, like, oh, I just had to disarm and that's the routine. And when she says, I don't want to do it, I'm devastated. And I'm like,
I know.
Don't do that.
And then when they get a bit older, David, like, I was like, oh, it'll get easier. Like, but actually, I'm finding it harder because they get clever, because they can negotiate. So it'll be like, no, three videos for that. And then it'll be like, oh, actually, let's have a song. So they started going, oh, well, can we have a song on like, the Alexa thing? And they dance and sing along to the song before bedtime, which is quite a bad idea because they get all amped
up. Just wind them down by getting them to dance and sing along to a song on Alexa.
And then they go, well, like, let me pick a song. And then the other one will go, well, she picked a song. I need to pick a song now. And then they go, well, you need to pick a song. I'm like, I don't want to pick a song, but it's only fair. I'm like, all right, I'll pick a song then. And they're like, well, we need to do the family song. I'm like, this never ends. And you're so tired and weak. They're just like in your brain. And I can't compete. It's so hard. But when you've got a routine like you've got at the moment, that is the sweet spot, I think. When
it depends on the song you're choosing. But what do you want? I want All By Myself. That's what I want.
When a man loves a woman. And Percy Sledge trying to get him to sleep.
So, it's just this routine thing that we do. And it's like, but I love children negotiating where they don't actually realise. So I go, all right, 5 minutes. And they go, three. And you go, okay, three's better.
My daughter will do that. You'll go, eat five more bits of pasta. Seven, fine. Yeah, go for it.
Oh, I'm glad you do that with five bits of pasta. Three more bits.
One bit of pasta. Is that a bad thing to be doing?
No, I'm like, three bits of pasta, one bit of avocado, one carrot, and then I'm terrible. Like, I never thought I'd like the bribing thing. I've told that. I'm like, if you do that, you get an ice cream.
Dessert pudding. But then the other day I was trying to get to finish a pizza to have pudding, but a pudding was watermelon. I'm like, surely just give her the watermelon. That's better. Stop giving her pizza. Let her have the fruit. The fruit's all right. It's not like she was going to have a tiramisu or something. So is there certain foods your kids are into? Are they just eating anything? Mine are quite picky. Don't even like chips, though.
Yeah, they're like chips. No, they're quite
plain pasta.
My other half is half Greek, so I mean, we're used to around the house having, you know, olives and big beans and stuff like that. So they're cheesy.
Big beans.
They're called big beans. Even in Greece, they're called big beans.
Big beans. I've never had a big bean in a Greek salad. Big beans.
What do you mean, big beans?
They're cool.
She's Greek.
The Greek.
Fucking bowl of Greece. Big beans. I didn't see one big bean, did I?
I'd say average beans.
They come out of a can. It says Heinz, and it's Greek, isn't it? That's big beans. No, honestly, just joking. But
I've googled big beans Greek.
Yeah. So I now make those because she's Greek, and they're something that in Greece you're eating is delicious. So
it's like a gnocchi size.
Oh, I know a big bean.
Big cannoli bean. So they're not olives. they'll eat olives and avocados and stuff like that.
Oh, but that's feta. Feta.
Yeah, I mean she this sounds terrible. She has either a croissant or pan of chocolate every morning.
Well, we went through a croissant phase.
Gosh, she's like a 40-year-old divorcee that works in media. She's listening to the Adele album again.
She can't get started if she has a latte.
That's not. oat milk latte for us, please, instead of tough.
At the same time, it's like, I don't know, cornflakes or Frosties, slice of toast or something.
It's probably better than Frosties. Yeah.
I can hear myself again talking, like, in the morning. Yeah, would you like a butter croissant or would you like a pan of chocolate? I'm like, what the fuck is it?
She has a buttered bagel. My daughter has a buttered bagel. The other one has jam on toast. But I think jam on toast is just like the English croissant or pan au chocolat, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not fancy, though, is it? It's a bit of chocolate in the middle of some butter.
I know.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Like, but because growing up, it was like, oh, you're a bit fancy. But actually, it's just sort of normal food in France. That's no one in France is going, look at this posh kid.
I don't think we're too strict. I would rather my children eat something they enjoy rather than trying to force them I presume. Yeah, we're all, I think social media's got a lot to do with how and like,
I feel like your life changed, David, from your background to where you are now, and you're struggling with your class. I'd recommend A Class Act by Rob Beckett, a book that explores the nature of class and the impact on people and their children. I'd say it's a great read.
200 pages on his first croissant. It's unbelievable stuff.
Yeah. 3,000 words less than Prince Harry talking about Apache helicopters.
Oh, my God, don't talk to me. Kids TV. Do you watch it?
Yes.
What's your favourites and what...
It progresses, doesn't it, about what you know, from when they're young to... So Cocomelon, we're back onto Cocomelon.
Oh, OK, yeah. That's a tough slog.
It's a tough one, that one.
I feel when I talk about kids' programmes, I feel like four ex-cons talking about prisons. Like, as in, did a four stretch in Belmarsh all the time. He'd done 2 years on Cocomelon. You what? Jake was my Belmarsh. Yeah. Baby Jake.
Yeah, yeah.
I did. So you're on Cocomelon.
Yeah, Cocomelon. Dougie, I enjoy.
Yeah.
Dougie, I can take. There's certain ones I can. Like, I will watch also. Blue, we've done. That Blue's
They're still
okay.
quite young, though, aren't they? One
yeah.
on four.
Yeah. Cocomelon. So we're. They love like the Frozen thing. Moana. So in the car on the way to is singing, and I will do it as well. Like, is either Frozen or Moana or... Yeah. I can't remember what the other one was. There's
Encanto?
Like three... Encanto, yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
So it's those three. Not that they sit and really watch the films. It's more just the music in the car that we enjoy. So...
What about Twirly Woos? Have you done the Twirly Woos?
I quite like the Twirly Woos.
I miss the Twirly Woos. I like them. You not had the Twirly Woos
That's
yet?
Like an open prison, isn't it? Yeah. one of those ones where, like, a financial crime you get sent to.
No, I haven't done Twirly Woos. Can't believe I just said the word Twirly Woos if I'm saying
Big beans and Twirly Woos. Yeah. What an episode.
Also, I feel like sometimes I kind of get into an episode and I want to know what... Like, if I ever go back to Thomas the Tank Engine, like, there's a story behind something. So the kids go, can we turn over? I'm like... I just want to see what happens to Thomas on this one. Just keep it on for 30 seconds. Like, no. Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
It is weird that, like, those people that make kids shows, when we talk to, like, so... They're seen by so many people you wouldn't expect to watch these shows. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, you wouldn't think David Gandy would have a view on Hey Dougie. You just wouldn't think it. Like...
Have you been asked to
Michael
do...
Sheen about Mr. Tom? Yeah, you must have done a bedtime story, haven't you?
No, I would actually quite like to do a bedtime story.
Get him in.
But again, that's something I choose. I also, go, what do you want to read? And I go, well, Daddy will choose, because Daddy has the ones that he enjoys reading.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not the ones that sometimes you enjoy reading, like The Dinosaur That Pooped. Hey, poop's funny. Like, that's a good one. Have you done Dinosaur That Pooped? Yeah, Dinosaur That Pooped, a princess. Yeah, like, enjoys those ones. And have you done You Choose? Have you got these books? They're called
They're good. So it's like, you're a princess, which castle do you want?
They choose the story.
Oh, I don't know. I think my kids have got enough opinions. How about I fucking choose? Sorry.
Very true. Yeah.
Are they good, though? Do they like them?
Yeah, they're good. I quite enjoy them.
They are
as
good,
well.
I think. I think they're good, those books.
Sometimes you and Stephanie just sit and do it. Does she read You Choose to you? And then you get to choose.
I mean, those days, those days,
it's good to know even Gandhi's not shagging. Oh, that's great. It's good to know. That's giving me a real boost, Dave. That's really pumped me up.
Like, it is that point of, like, having two. One was okay. Like, you got a bit of rest. Two is we have one each. So if I'm doing stories with Matilda, Steph's putting the baby down, And then that's how, you know, she looks up. That'll then be the rules at the moment. And if we are sometimes ever just in the bed together, like, because we were just like, oh, wow. Like, hang on a minute. And we're always waiting for, like, okay, who's going to wake up first or who's...
Yeah.
And I'm quite strict about children being in bed. So my Steph isn't. So she'll have the baby in bed. I can't be in a bed with a baby because I just think, I just don't trust. Like, I'm kind of big and I'm a deep sleeper when I do sleep. And I just think, and I can't get to sleep because I worry about it. So I might as well just go and sleep somewhere else. But I did feel like for years I was literally like a dog, trying to find somewhere to sleep around the house, like going round in a circle.
Yeah, like
doing that,
just curling up on the floor,
like anywhere. And I don't think, and I thought this was just me. And then he speaks to other dads. He goes, "Oh no," he said. You know, but Dave, one of my friends, is 6'6", and he says, "I've been, you know, trying to sleep in the same single bed as my son for years. Like he just has to sleep in there, and then we're all doing the same thing." So yeah, but I am quite strict. So if my daughter comes in. That's something I learned from my mum and dad as well, is that if I ever went down and say, I can't sleep or go into the bedroom, then my parents would use that. It's a trick, it's a parenting thing, is they don't say anything to you. They just take you by your hand and you're escorted back into your bedroom and they sit there, but they don't say anything. So you're just straight back into your bed. Now, I will say stuff and have a little conversation, but if she comes in, I do get straight out and we go back to your bedroom.
Oh, because, come on then. I think that, because we're the same.
To install, like,
we don't really have them in our bed at all. We never have, even when they were a lot younger. If they cried or were upset or had a bad dream, we'd sit with them in their room until they went back to sleep. And then on the odd occasion, we've slept with them, but normally we come back into the bedroom.
Yeah, and you come
but
out
some
of it,
people do have them in their bed for years, till like 6 or 7 or 8. And it would drive me mad. I couldn't do it.
No, and but you try, I mean, in the end, you're so sometimes tired, you're like, I'm just going to sleep in the bed with them.
I've
done that as well. Like.
Yeah, well, my youngest, who's 5, came in at 5 a.m. and she was like, I had a bad dream. I'm like, lay there, go sleep. It's too near getting up time to try and get her back in. I'm like, just lay there and go sleep. We'll get 2 hours of sleep. But it's quite nice, actually. You'll have a little cuddle.
The terrible parenting I would actually say I'm really guilty of, probably lots of things, but one of them is in the morning at like a 6:30 and she says, Daddy, can I watch something on your phone? I will go, and I know I'll get 20 more minutes or half an hour. I'll be like, yeah, darling. And I'm quite careful about what they watch on phone or YouTube or anything. I make sure I can choose everything. At that time in the morning, she could be watching Science of the Lambs. I did not. she could come out and like, do a review in the car. I didn't think Anthony Hopkins was that good in Hannah. Not compared to Science of the Lambs. Like, what?
She's watching Andrew Tate videos. Comes out top G. Actually, I think The Matrix is trying to get him, Dad. Lance, should we do the final question, Josh? Yeah.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, it's been brilliant.
I've absolutely loved this, David.
Thanks, guys.
Our final question is, what one thing does your partner do that you think is kind of... You see, I can't do the... I'm so bad at the final question, Rob. Why am I so bad at it?
Final question is, what one thing winds you up about the way your partner's parents that really gets under your skin, but you don't really bring it up because you don't have an argument about it or kick off, everyone's tired. But if she was to listen back, she might go, I think he's got a point there. And as well as that, to get you out of jail, which you might need, considering she's a barrister, what is the thing that she does when you go, I am so happy that I had children with this woman. She is amazing. What does she do as a mum? Got a tough ask here, Dave.
I love this one you've never really said it then, but do it on a podcast, like millions of people, and then that'll be fine. She'll like that one.
It's a service, because if she listens, she might go, yeah, that's right, actually. Or you could have told her as well. Just reinforce it on her. It's up to you. Depends how difficult you want this weekend to be for you.
Yeah. Now, how long do I need?
Because I don't put the pressure on, but a lot of people listen to this show.
How long do I want to be ignored for this week? I think she's probably a match. I would say the positive things, like a natural parent more than me. I would probably say she's wanted children. She's absolutely brilliant. Like I can't. There's not many things. I say we pair. Even if I think she doesn't quite agree with something I've done or something I've said to the children, and I'm vice versa, is we'll back each other up. So if they go, well, Daddy says, you do what Daddy says and you do what Mommy says. Even then they'll go out and they'll go, well, I don't actually agree with what you've done there, but we'll have that discussion later. So I think we are always backing each other up, which is good. No, she's just an incredible mum. Like she really, really is. And that's instilled. Like she teaches the kids to love each other as well. Like the two kids absolutely adore each other. And it's good. It's 3 years, and she's
how do you do that?
I mean, this will change. This will absolutely change. I mean,
how do you do that? How do you make that?
I don't know. I think when this is like 13, 14, I think that might change slightly. Yeah, absolutely. But the one thing that does wrong, I don't. God, I'm not going to go there.
Like, Come on, you pussy, go there.
The worst thing is the fact he won't go there means that there is one that he knows.
There is one to go.
No, I'm probably struggling to. I think the only thing we really think is that me and Steph are very, very different. As in, I love the outdoors. I am a bit of a loner, but I love the outdoors and taking dogs walks and walking up mountains and doing all these different things. And I would love my children to be the same. And Steph, you know, like a lot of people, doesn't enjoy that. She's, you know, she's also, Greeks do not understand walking up mountains. Any Greek, you'd be like, we were once in Greece and we said, we walked up Mount Zeus, and the waiter went to me, why did you do that?
Just bring me fucking big beans and keep it to yourself, all right?
Didn't really have an answer. The view? Shut up. but Steph is like that, and I like my children. I want them outside with me. Yeah. I want them running. We have been doing that now. We've moved to the new house and we're in Richmond Park and we've been building fairy dens. And but there is a case where, you know, where Stephanie said, I'm not really.
It's quite cold, I want to stay in.
And of course,
kids. And it's hard to go, kids, come with me, or stay at home with mummy in the warm.
Yeah, like we all want to kind of do. It's like, let's come out. Is mummy coming? No, she's not coming. Well, why are we going? Because that's just it. Just do as you're told.
Just come with me.
So it's not a criticism. It's just we're different in that mindset. Yeah.
I suppose she'll be the judge of if it's a criticism or not when she listens, won't she?
She's a barrister. She will be the judge, definitely.
If she doesn't listen, David, she will be told about it at the school gate.
Yet to win an argument in 6 years in this study.
How is that? Do you genuinely just lose every argument with a barrister?
You can't remember barristers. It's just that they are trained just to. They are brilliantly trained to get what they want you to say out of you. That's pretty much it. And you go, now, even when I think like she's done something really, I'm like, got it, right, I can have a go at this one, somehow I come out still being the bad person. I'm like, how did that one happen? Like, you did that wrong and it's me. How?
If you ever are kicking off, do you ever go and put a wig and gown on and go to talk to her and go, look, I'm feeling pretty confident about this argument, actually. I've gone full method. David, thank you so much.
Thanks
it's
so
amazing.
Much.
And good luck with your new range. Well wear.
Thank you.
I think I'm going to get myself a nice soft cotton hoodie and trousers and be able to wear them for the school run without the disrespect that I get currently.
Yeah, it'd be good to see them on some hot bodies, because I've looked at the pictures of you modelling it, David, and I thought, you want to see it on me and Rob?
on some real men. That's what we need. Some real men.
I'll be photographed in it running out the chip shop with a load of chips. It's a real man. It's how a real man wears it. But thanks so much, David. Cheers for
David.
This.
Lovely, guys.
David Gandy there. What a lovely bloke.
He's an absolute legend. Because I met him with Romesh. He's such a good bloke. He's such a
lad. Sadly, he's the full package. That's really annoying.
Well, do you know what? I thought that because I was like, oh, he's probably going to be like boring or a wanker. No, funny, likeable, really good bloke.
Really charming.
Heart in the right place, very sensible. But what I respect about it is he doesn't ram it down your throat.
Doesn't.
He lets it out in bursts. He's not front and centre. He allows us to think maybe there's something wrong with him, even though he knows he's great. Right, see you on Tuesday. That was David Gandy. What a bloke. His clothes actually do look decent, actually. Sometimes, let's be honest, you do this show and they say, oh, can you mention that? You look at it and go, ugh. But I was actually looking at that going, oh, I'd wear that.
Yeah, that looks good.
Looks comfy and smart. Right, see you Tuesday.
Bye.